Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. We're glad you're here. My name's Kenny, and it's my honor to serve as the lead pastor. And so a couple of things I just felt led by the Lord to share with you. One of my favorite parts about our church is one of our family values, that we believe that the next generation matters now. Now, you've probably been around places and spaces that talk about the future and the next generation, and you kind of have this idea of we're pointing towards something yet to come. And I understand the heart of that. I understand churches and organizations that would talk about students and younger ministries around the idea of future and trying to pour in and bless them and invest in them for something yet to come. But Home Church, I just wanted to give you a little bit of the heart of this house, that we just see it and we go about it just a little differently than that. In fact, it's one of our family values, that we believe the next generation matters now. You see, it's one thing to think about what we can do and invest and pour into to see and yield fruit in the future. It's great. I love that. And we pray that we will see that, not only amongst these students, but amongst Treehouse Kids and young adults, our rally ministry. Like, these are all things that we want to invest in because we want to see fruit in the future. But our heart is that we believe that the time is right now to see fruit as well. Where a lot of churches would look at young people and give them a little pat on the head and say, they're there, and wait your time, and when you're ready. Man, we just see it a little differently. I don't know if you noticed this, but there were students leading you in worship today, but what you also did not notice was back there, everyone running everything in the back today were students, right? Yeah. You didn't even know it. You didn't even know a difference. And, like, to me, that's a prime indicator. That we're going to be a house who is not going to stand around and say, wait your turn and wait till you're ready and all that kind of stuff. We're going to be a house that says, let's go. Like, if God wants to use you, however young, however old, like, it doesn't matter. Like, that stuff doesn't matter. We want to be open to God doing a work. See, here's how this looks. In our culture, you've seen this. I've seen this. In our culture, here's what happens. We typically see kids in church pretty often. We bring our kids to church, and because we have this mindset of, man, we want to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord. We need to be in church. We need to do all these things. And then what happens in our culture is we go through this maturation process. And all of a sudden, once our students start getting into middle and high school, our parents and students' mindsets and affections and attention starts to shift. And now all of a sudden, activities and sports and, you know, all these other things start to take precedence, and no longer do we have time to show up to church. And, well, you know, we're doing life, right? And then all of a sudden, they go off to college, and as many of you have done, you know what happens when you go off to college, right? It's where many of them run away from the Lord. They run away from their parental influence. They run away from anything good to the things that they want, that they desire, things that they think are good, great, and awesome. And whether it be chasing after a job or money or a girl or a boy or whatever it is, good times, man, they just start chasing after those things. And it's not until they become a young adult, maybe even start to have a family of their own, that all of a sudden, like, this idea of, oh, man, maybe I should come back to God, or maybe I should bring my family to God, right? That's typically when we see people start to show back up. That's just the way of the culture. But could I just lovingly say to you, that's not the way of this house. That's not the way of the kingdom. And so as a church, from day one, I've told this story many times. I'll tell it until I can't breathe again. One of the reasons that we planted this church is because that's my story. That's my story. My mama drug me to church. Y'all had a drug problem, and it was my mama dragging me to church, right? And I hated it. Man, there was flannel board Jesus, and I got called down from the pastor for, like, throwing a blanket. And I had all this wild, crazy stuff. And when I had the ability to make a choice of my own, I ran away from those things. I ran away from the Lord, and I did my own thing. And it wasn't until I got a little older and I started to have a family, and my wife was actually a strong believer, and I was trying to, like, catch up to her, if I'm being honest, that then the Lord finally grabbed hold of my heart and everything started to shift. I have three little boys. And one of the things God put on my heart for this house was that we wanted to be a part of building a church that our kids love. That our kids love coming to. That the thing they can't wait to do is not Carowinds. It's not the jump house. It's not any of those things. It's they can't wait for Sunday to come to church. I want my children and your children to fall in love with the house of God, because when they fall in love with the house of God, then as they grow up, they will start to see God in the house of God and then fall in love with him too. Like, this is the heart of our house. This is what we're chasing after. And so I just want to quickly, and I know it's getting a little later, I want to share this image for you through the scriptures around why we move this way, why we operate this way, why we believe this way, and why we invest this way. So if you have your scriptures, I'd like for you to join me in 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you don't have your Bible, if you're watching online, we're going to put it at my feet. If you're in the room, we're going to throw it on the screen. Real quickly, as you're getting there, I want to introduce you to a young man named Samuel. And Samuel, you're going to see here in a moment his story. His mother was barren and unable to have children, and then God blessed her with Samuel. And in her gratitude to that, she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Not only that, not only dedicated him to the Lord, she literally gave him to the house of the Lord. He started to live with Eli, one of the priests, and he started to live and serve in the house of the Lord. And so I want you to see how this plays out. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Your title there, it might say, "The Lord Calls Samuel." The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, so again, Eli's the priest, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see because he's getting old, was lying down in his usual place. Don't we do that when we start to get old? We got our like usual couch. It's like indented. It's been going on forever. Verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel. Hear this. Not called to. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And then he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Can you see this picture? Little boy laying in one room, Eli laying in another. The Lord calls to Samuel. He hears it, says, "Yes," and he takes off to Eli. Why? Well, we're about to see. Verse 5, and he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Y'all, do you have any idea how many times I have to tell my kids to do this in the middle of the night? "I didn't call you, go back. You go lay down. You go back to sleep," right? I get this. Verse 6, again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said. Now, I said that nicely, but on the second time you waking me up, "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. See, this depiction has always stunned me. This idea of Samuel, because now I know the end of the story. Like, I know that God's going to use him in mighty ways, and we'll kind of get to that real quickly. But this depiction, like, blows my mind, and it both encourages me and scares me. Because this idea that God would be calling to Samuel, Samuel would hear him and not really understand where to go with that, how to respond to that effectively. And then there's the thing that just grabs hold of my heart. And he says that Eli did not yet know the Lord, for the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. So wait, hang on. Verse 1 said that Samuel, this young man, had been ministering before the Lord. What does that mean? It means he was serving in the house. It means he was dancing and probably praising and serving Eli, serving the house of the Lord. So here we have this young man who has had his life dedicated to the Lord, both by his mother, said go, and the way he's living inside of the house of the Lord. And he's ministering to the Lord and in the Lord's house. And yet he did not actually know the Lord. Now, I see this play out in our church already as well. If you stick around for a few minutes today after the service, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see some adults who will sit around out there and not do anything, and you're going to see some of our kids actually start to tear the thing down, and there'll be a pile of kids that are pushing carts and doing all this stuff. Here, we even see this example of our children who do not yet know the Lord. They are ministering and serving in his house, but the word of the Lord has not been revealed to them. This is an image. This is a picture right here. We see it happening in our own house. And so as encouraging as that is, that our children who maybe don't know the Lord yet, but they love his house, they're dedicated to it, they just want to serve, they want to minister because they know it's a good, right, and encouraging thing. They do those things, and yet they don't know the Lord. So on one hand, we have this beautiful, cute image. And then on the other hand, it is, as a pastor, one of my greatest fears and one of the fights that I fiend to stand on the front line for is what Jesus said. He said, there'll be many at the end of the age who come and call out to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he'll say, apart from me, away from me, I did not know you. And they'll say, but God, we did works in your name and we did miracles in your name. And he'll say, I didn't know you. And so I've got this duality, this complex that I see playing out right in front of me of our children who are serving and ministering before the Lord, and yet they've not had him revealed and have not yet known him. And then at some point, the Lord will come back, and there will be many, young and old, who will stand before him and say that exact same thing. But God, did I not show up all the time? Wasn't I a regular attender in your house? Did I not serve? Did I not move and push carts and set up pipe and drape and sing on the stage and run a sound booth? Did I not do these things in your name? Yeah, but I don't know you. See, especially here in America, especially in the South, we have taught our children and we have equated church attendance and salvation. We have equated and put together our ability to serve and to give and consistently be in God's house to the idea of him being revealed to us. And I just need you to hear today, those are two separate things. I have this conviction over my heart for our children, for our students, for our young adults, and also not just them, by the way, for you, anyone under the sound of my voice. And so today, as our students eloquently shared, I also stand before you and make a call to you. I'll come back to that. But I ask this question often to people. When you die, or when Jesus comes back, why is it that he would say, welcome into his kingdom? I love to ask this question of people because I get all kinds of different answers. I get answers like this. I wrote some of them down. I've always been in church. I was baptized as a kid. Well, I'm a member of so-and-so church. I prayed a prayer one time. And man, like, so many people attribute those things to their salvation. And let me just say this. If the question to you is, how do you know why you'd be welcomed into the kingdom? And it starts in any way, shape, or form with your response starts with, I'm telling you, it's wrong. If your response is, well, I met Jesus. I did these things. I found Jesus. I served in the church. I went to church. I was bad. The right and proper response to why is it that you would be welcomed into the kingdom has very little to do with you, and it has everything to do with Jesus. The response to that question should be, because Jesus loves me and died for me. Because Jesus paid a price for my sin. Because Jesus went to a cross and reconciled me to God the Father. Because I was dead in my trespasses and Jesus forgave me. Jesus drew me in. Jesus sought me out. Jesus found me because he wasn't hiding. I was running and hiding. Jesus made me perfect. Jesus saved me. You see, that distinction, that is the revealing of God's word in your life. So it's one thing to know all about God. It's one thing to serve in his house and attend and even have been baptized, doing works in his name and all this kind of stuff. But there is a distinguishing difference in knowing about God and actually knowing God. Well, how do I know? I mean, we just read it. We saw Samuel. This was true in Samuel's story. And oh, by the way, this is true in so many people that I meet. This is true in their story, in their life. I have this conversation over and over and over again with people. And so here's what I would just say to you. That when the word of God is revealed, here's what the word of God revealed looks like. It points to Jesus. Because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is this perfect sacrifice that covered your sins to make you right with God. Jesus is the Word. He was there in the beginning. And when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that is Jesus. And so today, if you're under the sound of my voice, here's what I declare to you. I declare the Word of the Lord to you. That God would reveal himself to you right now, in this moment. This same Jesus who we talk about, who ultimately is the Savior of all of our soul. I need you to hear this. He loves you. Man, if I could take 22 minutes and literally look every single one of you in the eye and hold you by the shoulders and say to you, God loves you. And I know it feels like I'm talking to a room, but I'm talking to you. More clearly, the Holy Spirit of God is talking through me to you. He wants to reveal himself to you right now in this moment. And so with faith today, I speak the name of the one, the only name under heaven and earth by which men might be saved, the name of Jesus, in hopes that by faith that the Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus to you who were dead in your sin, guilty of your trespasses, and yet loved so much that God sent his one and only son that he would die for you. That he would die for you. See, this word isn't just for the young people. Oh, it's for y'all. This word that you've been hearing all week, it's for you to surrender your life and to give all that you've got. And man, I love that. And I'm encouraged that the word of God would be received in you. But church, this is also for all of us. This word is for all of us. Samuel turns into a prophet. God speaks a prophecy over Samuel in his dreams, and he tells him to go to Eli, and here's what it looks like. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lied down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Believers, this is our role. This is our role in the life of young people. This is our part to play, and this is why our house will consistently find and serve and invest in the next generation. This right here. Because it's our job to teach those coming beside us and behind us how to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord and how to then respond to it. That's part of our calling. We have to teach young people how to respond to God's calling in and over their life. See, it's not enough for us just to tell them what they can and can't do, what they should and shouldn't do, where and what where they shouldn't go. We have a responsibility to teach them even greater things, how to hear from God and respond to his calling. Because here's the thing. not every young person who hears the voice of the Lord is going to be aware that that's who's calling on them. And if we're not having an active part in their life, how are we going to teach them and show them and guide them and help them respond? I simply ask you this question. What good does worrying about the future have when we're losing kids every day? Why do we care about what's going to happen in 10, 12 years when we have kids right now who are graduating out of Treehouse Kids, moving out of elementary school, moving into middle and high schools, moving out of middle and high schools into life? We are losing them every day because we're worried about the future. And I'm just here to tell you, the future is now. We believe the next generation matters. When?
Now.
When?
Now.
And oh, by the way, it matters greatly. It matters greatly. Samuel would be used mightily by God. Samuel would turn into Israel's prophet. Samuel would be the one to install the first king in Saul. Samuel would be the one to find and see that the Lord's calling was over David, the youngest, the smallest of Jesse's bunch. Oh, isn't it interesting that this young man would grow up into a man of God, and he would then recognize gifting and talent and calling over some other young man? I think that's beautiful. Here's how that little story ends. Verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. There he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And I love this. Most people stop at the end of chapter 3. Look at this. Flip your page. Verse 1 of chapter 4. And Samuel's word came to all Israel. Man, I love Samuel's story and how God used this young man and called him and ultimately would use him in mighty, mighty ways through ministry over his life. And I just think about how many times people gave me a chance when I was a kid. I remember I was 15 years old and I got my first job working at the YMCA. And I go through the process, and they hire me, and then they send me out to a playground, and there's like 80 kids running wild out there. And I had this realization of like, holy crap, like, I'm responsible now. This is nuts. Why would someone trust me, a kid at 15, to lead and care for other kids? I literally went home that day and I cried to my mother and apologized for how bad of a kid I was because I saw all these wild, crazy kids, right? But it took someone seeing something in me as a young man to proclaim a calling over my life that would turn into 17 years of ministry working in an organization that God would then use to catapult me and help me be equipped and ready to step into full-time ministry. Home church, I got news for you. I don't think we're all sitting here today together in this environment had it not been for some guy named Jeff who gave me a job at the YMCA when I was 15 because he saw something in me that I didn't even see in myself. This is the heart of our house. That when we look at Treehouse Kids and when we look at Fuse and when we look at our young adults, we don't just see people. We see sons and daughters of the King, that we're called and responsible to help lead and shepherd and steward and call out goodness and greatness and God calling over their life. We have a part to play in this. And here's what I believe with everything in me. Hear this. It is not today, but one day God will call me out of this pulpit. And there will be another one who's anointed and appointed to stand here to lead you. And with everything in me, I believe that we are raising up right now. I believe this with everything in me, that the next leader of this house is already in the house. I believe somewhere in Treehouse Kids, or maybe someone in Fuse, maybe one of our young adults, is the next one that God's going to call and anoint and appoint to stand here and be the leader of this house. And I'm just telling you, what would we not give that young man to lead? What would we not invest in him right now? For every young woman to lead in the house of God, what would we not give them to equip them to be ready for what God's going to hand them in the future? By the way, it's not just for their good, it's for God's glory. And this house will be blessed for many years because of it. Man, if God can use a little boy like Samuel, and he can use a wild boy from Clover like me, well, he's the same God who would use that David, who Samuel would anoint and appoint, who turned into a murderer and a cheater. He's the same God who would use Saul, who was a murderer of Christians, change his name, and then make him Paul, who would write most of the New Testament. See, that same Jesus who was calling Samuel has had a calling over their lives. And friends, he has a calling over your life as well. But the first and most important calling that he makes is for you to know him. For him to reveal the word of the Lord to you. I wonder if some of Samuel's story resonates with you, that you've been around the house of God, you've raised in church, you know all the things about God, maybe you've served God, you've been a deacon in another church, you've been an elder, you've been maybe even, I don't even know. And yet all of those things don't really matter because you've not had the word of the Lord revealed to you. And I wonder today if as the Lord had this word for you, that he has opened your eyes, he's opened your ears, he's opened your hearts to receive him. That as I've been preaching, that you thought I was yelling at you today. You thought that every bit of this was geared towards you. Let me just lovingly say, that is the Holy Spirit of God drawing you into this moment right now to open your heart to receive the word of the Lord as it is revealed to you. And I just have enough faith to believe that maybe it's just for you today. That God ordained and orchestrated this moment, a student takeover Sunday, testimonies about camp, and yet your eternity could change in a moment. Friends, would you, just out of reverence, would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Just in a posture of contemplation. I just simply ask you this question. It's the same question our students were asked all week. It's the same question I want to leave with you today. When the word of God is revealed to you, he calls you to surrender to him as your Lord and Savior. To give up all of the things that you thought were great in exchange for grace, mercy, and love that will change your eternity. I wonder if the Lord has revealed himself to you today. And that in your hearing and your seeing now through the Spirit, that today would be the day of salvation for you. That the word of the Lord would be revealed to you and come true to in life in your heart. The Bible gives us this explanation. That when the word of the Lord is revealed to you and God opens your heart, the response, I want to teach you today how to respond. Like God called on Samuel and Eli said, go and respond. Here's how you do it. I want to teach you what the Bible says, how you can respond to God calling you right now. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you would be saved. When the word of God is revealed to you, that is how you respond. And so by faith, I want to give you a chance to respond to God calling over you right now. As a church, every week we pray out loud for the benefit of maybe just the one under the sound of my voice who God is calling home. It's not a magical prayer. It simply matters about the posture of your heart. Friends, would you pray this out loud with me by saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm lost without you. Will you forgive me? I need you in my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe you were raised from the dead. Will you save me? Jesus, help me learn to follow you the rest of my days, the best I know how. Friends, your heads are still bowed, your eyes are closed. In this moment, this is a holy moment. For the past 8 weeks, God's been pouring his Spirit out on this house. We've seen 30 people respond to this good news gospel. This week, we saw a student respond. And I just wonder right now, in the hearing of this word, has God revealed himself to you? And in this moment, has this been the day of salvation? No one's looking around. I'm going to count to three. And if that's been for you today, God's been calling you home, and this moment is for you. I just want you to shoot your hand above your head. No one's looking around, just me and you. One, today is the day of your salvation. Two, you will live in eternity with Jesus forever. You are loved and forgiven. Three, raise your hand and respond to his goodness in your life. Amen. I see you. Any others? Amen. I see you. Yes, I see you. I'll be patient. Any others need to respond? You can put your hands down. You may look up this way. Man, the Holy Spirit of God is powerful. And this Jesus is faithful to save. Here we've seen 9 weeks in a row of salvation in this house. Another three responded today. Friends, that's 34 people whose eternity has been changed over the course of 8 weeks, 2 months, over 2 months in the middle of the summer in a small little church in a small little town in Maiden. God is pouring out his Spirit. If today's word was for you, I just want you to know that God, I'm telling you, that word was for you. Because I came in today, I was going to allow the testimony of our students to preach the word. And yet, God laid this on my heart for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how great of a God that he is, that he would orchestrate all of this for you in this moment. And we thank God for that. Would you stand your feet? I want to pray over you. And then we are going to just lift the roof off of this place and celebrate all that God's done this week, all that God's been doing, and by faith, what God will continue to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We bless you, for you are worthy. No other name under heaven and earth which is worthy of salvation or praise or honor or glory. We give it all to you. We love you, God. We say thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your mercy, your love. God, you are good to us beyond measure. And so, Father, over the next few moments, as we sing, as we lift our voice, may you be honored. God, may you be excited about what you're doing in this house. And God, we pray that your Spirit would continue to pour out on us, that you would continue to do a work in this house, God, that you would find us worthy to sit at your feet and receive the blessing and the pouring out of the Spirit. God, we receive it and we'll steward it as best we know how. And so, Father, we love you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, let's sing and celebrate.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.